Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of the shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. Well, today I'm interviewing director Jason Wright, and I think I have him on the line right now. Okay, are
Hi,
you
Rachel,
there?
Hi, Rachel, how are you? Yes, thank
Good.
You, how are
how
you?
How
are
you?
Very well, thank
Wonderful.
You.
Wonderful. Great. Well, I want to dive right in with some questions for you. You seem to focus on horror films, and I was wondering, how long have you been a fan of horror movies, and how did you get involved in horror filmmaking?
Probably since the age of 13, I loved horror movies. Probably my first film I ever saw was The Evil Dead, so that takes you back a bit, gives you an idea of my age without giving too much away. So that was the first one I ever saw, really. I've loved horror ever since that age, really, and it's something that I've always wanted to do as a director, as a DOP as well, and other roles which we do within Silent Studios, to be fair.
And what was it about that movie that really drew you in and made you decide to get involved in this?
I've watched a lot of movies at that time. The thing with Evil Dead, it had a very eerie mood to it, so it kind of drew you in, but it was quite, you know, at the time, obviously for the age, it was quite a scary movie. So for me, it was something that was different. It was quite scary. It was gory. It had moments in there when you saw bits and bobs happen there, like the guy had his pencil tweaked in his ankle and thought, oh, my God, that must really hurt. But it had some really nasty moments, and you thought, this is a really, really, you know, horror film. It just had you on the edge of the seat as you watched the film. It was quite clever.
Mhm. And now, did you go to school for filmmaking?
No. I actually was trained as a mechanical engineer, believe it or not.
Wow.
So I did a degree in engineering and design. So very, very randomly, not as a director. I think a lot of directors follow a very, very similar suit. They don't actually go to school to direct. They go to school and learn the normal studies, then go out and do something. And then halfway through their career, they obviously take up, like I did, photography and then videography and DOP, which is director of photography on set, and then became a director through that process and through those years of education on film sets itself, not necessarily going to school and learning.
Mm-hmm. And now you have Silent Studios, and it's kind of considered a one-stop shop for horror. Tell me a little bit about some of the services that you provide through the studio, besides just your own projects.
Yeah, Silent Studios, it's a two-year in-the-making company. It's something that I've been trying to set up for nearly 10 years before that, to be fair. And we now offer a range of services. One of them is a thing called Team Zombie, which is basically a group of actors and professional actors that dress up as zombies and not just do the usual kind of a bit of paint and snazzeroo, but they actually go in with full prosthetics and masks, a bit like the Walking Dead zombies in one of a better description, and do certain roles for certain films or commercials or game companies, whether it's promotional or, you know, obviously on commercials or on films. So they do it as a living. So they would consider themselves to be, you know, live actors and zombies as a job role, which is quite stunning for anyone to say, to be fair. So we do that. We have a makeup team, Dead Gory FX, or SFX, sorry. They are some of the top makeup artists in the country, and they really are an amazing team. They sit and design their own masks and molds and fingers and all kinds of weird things that we use in all the stuff we do. And they're just stunning. Mm-hmm. So we have a professional makeup team, which we obviously have out, which obviously is it combines with the zombie team in some jobs and other jobs independent. We have a production crew that do filming as well as our own stuff. We go and help on other films, try to get some of the horror, you know, really into some of these films where they're starting out and some short films and all those kind of things. And we do PR and photographic work. So we do artist work as well, movie posters. And then we have merchandise like every other company, but it's just basically a one-stop shop for horror. So anything you can imagine in the horror industry, obviously we try to get in, you know, with them. Like, you know, we've been with Capcom, Microsoft, Dead Rising, Resident Evil 6, you know, all kinds of things that people are really interested in. Big Brother last year, which is a UK thing. I think you've got it over there as well now. But we was on the Big Brother show, terrorizing the people in the Big Brother house as zombies. So that was quite
funny. That's really funny. That's funny.
So, yeah, a lot of stuff, really. A lot of different things.
And what did you do with the Resident Evil 6? Did you work on the poster, or what did you do for the video?
No, it was a funny one. Capcom, I have to say, since I was a boy, Resident Evil was my favorite game, and probably a lot of your listeners will say exactly the same. It's such an amazing game. We went down to have a talk with Capcom and tell them who we were, what we could do. And we were very lucky. The community manager down there, Neil, who's a really, really nice guy, gave us the opportunity to put together a UK commercial for Resident Evil 6. So we didn't have much time, but we were asked to put it together. So that means putting together the production crew, the zombies, get a location, put the script together, and come up with something that would be a live trailer against Resident Evil 6, as they used to have on the Resident Evil 1 games, because I think up until now, or up until then, they had CGI movies and all the stuff taken from the game itself. So we had a very unique opportunity. So I was very gifted and lucky to be able to direct that, which I did in one day. It's just another astounding moment. And obviously that's now up and running, and it's been out for a couple of years itself. But, you know, 9 cameras, 120 zombies, 35 to 40 makeup artists, all on one set. It's amazing.
Oh my gosh! Sounds like the set of Thriller, the Michael Jackson video.
Yeah, finally. Michael Jackson couldn't make it, though, unfortunately. Sorry.
Was there dancing involved with the zombies? Did you dance at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, a lot of them. We have a couple of. You laugh. We have a couple of zombies that actually train people to be zombies as well. So they know the walks, the grunts, and the talks, and you know. Otherwise, you could look really, really funny when you try and take on a zombie role in a movie. And it could make or break some of the acting, to be fair. But you know, we have a guy called David Selleck. He's our resident zombie, as I call him, but he's also our entertainment director, and he's been in loads of different films, as well as zombie films like Cockneys vs. Zombies, you may have seen over there. But he's been in things like Captain America, he's been in Robin Hood, he's been in all kinds of big sets. So he understands the film industry very well. And as a zombie, he understands what a zombie should do, how they should act and how they should talk on a film set, on a commercial, or even on a promotional gig, you know, when we do things for some of the gaming companies. So a very helpful bloke to have on the team, to be fair.
There's a wide range of what people consider that zombies should look like and act like. You know, should they be slow? Should they be fast? What's your take?
Yeah, very, very good question. I have to say, I am a fan of George Romero zombies, which is one of the takes, I suppose, which is the slow terrorizing one in one way, because that was the original. And I think everybody who's a zombie fan would recognize and obviously respect that. But I have to say, when I watched the new make of Dawn of the Dead, and I've watched things like 28 Weeks Later, which is infected, not specifically zombies per se, they became more terrifying because they could actually catch you up. As though you like saying, oh, he's only wandering. And so I think the faster zombies for me are more terrorizing in that respect. And I think, you know, things we're doing like Contamination, which we'll talk about in a bit, and some, you know, the Resident Evil ones, again, they were more faster zombies, just gave it that more edge and terrorizing feel for today's genre. But, you know, I'd never take anything away from George Romero. I think, you know, his films were brilliant in their own right. And obviously those zombies were also terrifying, but I had more of them.
And the makeup is what really makes your film stand out for me from what I've seen of them. How long does it take to do that type of makeup? Are you in there chair for hours?
Yeah.
Zombie makeup?
It is hours. It's very similar. Like I said before, on The Walking Dead, they take about 4 or 5 hours, and we're no different. We have exactly the same process. We do like the same kind of prosthetic masks, and the people that wear these, you know, the actors, like I said, David is an example, will sit in a chair and have that put onto him, and he'll be in there nice and peacefully for like 3.5, 4, 5 hours, depending on what they're doing to him. So, you know, you have to admire, because that's quite patient thing to do, and then wander around for 7 hours in this getup, which also is quite hot and stuff, and act like a zombie. So it's about between 3 and 5 hours, depending on what level of makeup you're actually putting onto the zombie.
Mm-hmm. And your film Demon Mist, I saw the trailer for that, and that's what first made me contact you. And you can see the mist, you know, there's special effects. How much of kind of special effects do you use in your film?
Demon Mist is quite a unique one. We did that as an entry for a competition called Bloody Cuts, which is a Canadian film festival thing. But we did. We had some very good luck there. One of my friends, she was one of the lesbian vampire killers, if you've seen that film, which is a really, really funny comedy. She was one of the lead vampires, and she came on and played in that 3-minute movie for us. We did, I think it was a 5-day shoot in total for that, for the 3-minute version, which is what you've seen. And the mist, for example, that was edited in because obviously we tried smoke bombs quite a few times and the wind was horrendous. And it just wouldn't go in front of the screen. I was like, please, go in. So, you know, the mist is probably the only CGI moment of that. The rest of it, all the other stuff, you know, acid and stuff in the bloke's throat, which again was David without his mask on, so he's obviously there being tipped acid down his throat. And we had Dana, who's off of Dead Walkers and some other things. She had her eyes pulled out and stuff. They were all not, obviously not real, but they were all stuff we did on set with the makeup and obviously with the prosthetic eyes and that kind of stuff. So we only had a little bit of VFX, as they call it, and most of it was on set SFX, which is obviously the prosthetics and stuff like that. But it was a fun day. But that was going to be extended to a 20-minute version, which we're working on now, which will go out to all the festivals mm-hmm. around the world for everyone to see a bit more about what that movie is, because it's just, you know, it is quite a violent and scary one, and I wanted to kind of just show people a little bit of what we can do. So that's what that movie is about, really.
Mm-hmm. And do you make a lot of props and weapons and that type of thing also?
We have a costume and props persons, I should say. There's more than one of them, and they do. They, you know, we design costumes, for example, for certain things, like we did for Dead Rising 3 for Microsoft. We actually copied the characters in the game, and again with the props, you know, we made a really funny thing. We made a circular saw that had to go into the guy's stomach on a zombie, so he had to have it stuck into his stomach, and it was a real circular saw. So they made it so he could fit it to his chest with a flat piece, so it looked like someone had just chucked it into him. So the guys spend a lot of time making the props and stuff for the films and for the promotional work, and we kind of get as much as possible done ourselves. There are a few things that obviously you have to buy in, because obviously there's no way in heaven's earth we could have got some of it done in time, but the majority, at least 90% of it, we do in-house.
Mm-hmm. Where did you film Demon Mist? Where are you?
It was filmed at a friend's farm. I have a friend, he runs his own farm. He's called Tully's Farm in the UK. They have it's a normal farm, to be fair. In October, they do a thing called Shocktoberfest, which is turning the farm into, you know, a load of rides, horror rides. So, you know, that's how I got to know the guy that runs that. He's a really nice guy. And he's let us borrow the farm for the last year. We've shot Demon Mist there. We've shot parts of Torture there. And we're planning to shoot some other short film stuff there and another feature film there later in 2016 as well. So we're quite lucky to have that location amongst others to be able to film at.
That's great. And tell me about Torture, because that's another film you're working on right now. Tell me what that one's about. Is that just a bloodbath, or is there more to the story than that?
There's a Torture is it's a really, really it's a nasty piece of work, I have to say. It's a cross between you'll like this. It's a cross between Saw and Hostel, if you've seen those films.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah, it is. It really turns the heat up, really. I wanted to come up with something that didn't take away anything from them films, so I think they're brilliant in their own right. I happen to love Hostel immensely, and I think Eli Roth did a fantastic job with that. And so what we did, we've come up with a script line and stuff that is worse in some ways, without giving the plot away, because obviously I don't want to do that at this moment in time because it's still being filmed, mm-hmm. but it is literally, you know, a really nasty, full of lots of gore and horror, and it's got lots of twists and turns in that. And as you can see from the poster, you know, girls with, you know, bloody masks on isn't a good thing, so this obviously does something bad, but I can't tell you what.
Now, how do you find your cast for this? Is this like your in-house crew, or do you do castings outside of your group?
A bit of both, to be honest. I have to say, you know, for Torture, it's currently out for investment as well, hence why I can't say too much about it, because we've got 11 investors looking at obviously sponsoring the film and putting a lot of money into it. So that could change the, you know, some of the cast dramatically in terms of stature. But at the moment, like I say, a lot of the people that help on these films are friends of Silent Studios, or actually involved heavily in Silent Studios and obviously trying to push as much as they can their free time, to be fair, a lot of them. And they really, you know, just want to get out into the horror genre. So we kind of work together as a group. So we've had cast members from all over the world. I've had people from Greece volunteering to pop over just to be in a film, and I'm like, really? You want to travel all the way over for 5 minutes, really? So it's a bit of a weird one. I have looked at a lot of other cast people, obviously, through we have sites you probably know about, like Star Now and stuff like that, and those kind of websites where mm-hmm. we try and look for specific casts, and we do casting sessions for every single role. So even if it's someone within our group, you know, and we've got, you know, to give you an appreciation on the website, in terms of people in the team, we've got like 70 people in that group. Outside of that, we've got nearly 1,500 people, you know, extras, actors, makeup artists and that you know, are regularly informed about what we do, and they are actively, obviously, can pop in and pop out as we do things. So it's quite an amazing following to have. You know, I was quite stunned when we first started doing this, how many people are really, really interested in horror, and interested in us, to be fair, because mm-hmm. we're only a young company, is one of a better word.
Is there a huge horror fan base in the UK for horror? Is there a big fan, a lot of fans for horror?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I would say definitely. I mean, we have a festival, again, that some friends of ours run, and I've known them a couple of years, and they're really nice. It's called Fright Fest in London. That's mm-hmm. probably the biggest horror festival in the UK. And they run probably about 200-300 movies at the festival over the 5 days. And there are loads and loads of people that go to that festival all the time. And they have people from all over the world pop in, you know, directors. We spoke to Bob Gawthwaite, for example, last year, who's mm-hmm. obviously been in Police Academy over there and, you know, worked with Bill Murray on Scrooge. So, you know, we spoke to him. Adam Green from Hatchet 3, and that was advertised, he was over here. And the year before, obviously friends of ours, Jen and Sylvia Soska, doing American Mary. So it's a massive, massive industry in the UK, and it's bringing in people and things from other areas. You know, we've got a lot of UK films coming out now to obviously offset, because the US is obviously the biggest place for horror. And then probably Japan, which is another type of horror. But it is a massive thing, and that's another reason why I wanted to make sure that, you know, we deliver what we can deliver, because we're hoping, obviously, to come over to America and film over there as well at one point in the next couple of years. And we've got friends over there, obviously, from AMC's The Walking Dead. We have, you know, Mick Mundy is a good friend of ours, Michelle Hematese.
Right.
They're really, really nice people, and they're obviously, you know, friends of Science Studios as well.
Great. Now, do you think every decent slash film needs to have scantily clad women?
No.
I see that kind of in your films, and it's in every film I've seen.
Yeah, it is a bit, but I toned it down on purpose, because the reason why that was on that particular script is because it made you push towards thinking that David, obviously, who was playing the lead in that role, one of the leads, sorry, was taking these girls away to have his wicked way at some place and a bit of a party and stuff. And I wanted to give a little bit of element of that without going too far, because I think a lot of films do exactly what you just said, and they go too far.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I did a little bit of that, and it threw everyone off, because no one knew who was going to kill who. So it kind of chucked you all, really. The longer version will obviously be more the same in a different light, but it'll be very, very similar. But I just wanted to kind of give that air. I think if you do it very, very cleverly, I watched a film the other day, Spit on Your Grave 2, which is obviously, again, I've interviewed that director before, and that is an amazing film again. And for the first hour of the movie, the girl's naked, because she's obviously going through a very mm-hmm. dramatic time before she turns around and then obviously gets her revenge. But again, you know, that was done for the film and not so much done for the guys watching the film. So I'm like you, I have a thing about that. I make sure that it's for the story, not necessarily for the audience, so you just don't get boys coming and saying, oh, they're all naked in that film, let's watch it. Because you don't want that. You really want to watch it because it's a horror film, not because it's, you know, all scantily clad
uh-huh.
women.
Yeah. Now, tell me about Blaze of Glory. That's another one that you're doing right now, right?
We're actually involved in that. It's not our film per se.
I
directed one of the segments. So Blaze of Glory is being edited by a very good friend of ours, and again, a member of our team, part-time as he's doing other things, which is David Davis. So he knows a young lady who at 12 years old, which is going back a few years, when she was 12, she wrote these stories and took him in the school to be marked. So when you read and see the film, you'll be stunned, because the teachers were stunned when they read the stories and obviously weren't, you know, surprised to ring her parents straight away and said, your child's got issues. So it was a very, very a weird time for her. But she's an amazing girl. And like I say, these stories, David's met up with her later. I think she's 18, 19 now. But he's taken the stories off her and then talked to myself and another 9 directors. And each one of us have got a segment to do, which obviously I've completed mine, and it's called Precious. But each one of us has done a segment to put together to show these stories as an anthology film, which should be coming out this year, if not early next year. But they are really brutal. They're proper old-schooly horror, as I call it, but it is quite brutal. So, you know, we're quite lucky. We did the wraparound segment, which is obviously beginning and end and in-betweens. And we had a very, very unique star on it called Emily Booth, who you might know of. She's the horror queen in the UK and presenter of the Horror Channel. So she was our lead actress. And obviously, again, you know, that kind of stature on that film will give it a lot of credibility. But it is a unique storyline and very, very unique stories from this young girl who's very, very talented.
And now what else are you working on right now?
We're also doing a couple of things. Oh, loads. a couple of things to mention. I think contamination is one worth mentioning, because that was a story that I wrote quite a while ago as a story. And we went out and looked for authors, and we teamed up with a guy called David Jeffrey, who's wrote horror movies in the horror books in the past. And he's been kind enough to author this book for us. So contamination became a novel first, and it's been out a year or so. It's being re-released this year under our new publishing company. And what we're doing this year as well, especially for contamination, is we're doing a pitch trailer for it at the end of the year with thousands of people in it. So it's going to be an attempt at a record for the Guinness Book of Records, plus it's going to be a pitch trailer for the movie, which will be shot next year and into 2016. But it's a very, again, different twist on normal films. It's not a zombie film. It's an infected film. So it's about, you know, a guy. He's called Dean Sharp. He wakes up in his home, and there's all this violence outside. And looks outside, and there's people pulling people's arms out, ripping eyes out, all kinds of weird, gory stuff. And he has to obviously find out what's going on. So it's written in a very Pulp Fiction-y style way. So you start and end at the beginning, if that makes sense. It takes you through a complete storyline, but it swaps back through different timelines. But it's a very fast, action-paced book, and it will be a very, very clever, fast, action-paced movie as well.
That sounds great.
So that's Contamination. We've also got Zombie Weekend 3 we're doing, which is a festival, a music festival, like you've never seen. We have loads of metal bands coming, and it's a very unique experience for those that want to attend. It's purely just a music festival, and it has a zombie survival application to it for the weekend, where you have to survive with your three tags, or you become a zombie yourself and then join the zombie crew. But we did it last year, and I have to say, last year we had a team of stag people, and they're all buff, big buff weightlifter guys, and one of them, I won't name him because I don't want to embarrass him, bless him, but ended up crying in his car because he was that scared of the zombies trying to attack him at like midnight. It's quite funny. But again, bit of fun. We do a couple of events like that throughout the year to try to keep people interested in the genre. This year, zombie. Next year, it might be vampires. The year after, might be werewolves. Who knows?
That sounds great. Wow.
But we have lots of stuff.
Okay, keep going. Go on. What else?
you want more stuff?
I want more. Yeah, what else do you have?
You want more. Okay, Silent Studios, obviously, we've worked with Resident Evil 6, which we talked about. We've also, last year, we was on the Dead Rising 3 stand in Eurogamer, so we were working with them promoting Dead Rising 3, so that was quite an amazing feat. And also, we was with the Dead Island Riptide crew, which is Koch Media, last year, and one of the special events we did with them and did the makeup and zombie makeup for was the one and only UK zombie wedding, which was held in Mayfair, which, again, you can't believe that two people would want a zombie wedding, but they did. So it was promotional for the game. It was really, really clever. And we're going to be working with these guys, hopefully, in this year on future products and games coming throughout. But, you know, again, the gaming genre is massive, as is the horror genre for films. The game is just as big. And you'll probably see Silent Studios on a lot of gaming activity as well as filming activity throughout the next God knows how many years until we give up, I think. We have, no, I'll say, go on, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, we do have a lot of stuff on the website, so if people want to pop on there and have a look, they're more than welcome. Demon Mist, by the way, just for those who don't know, is currently up on Indiegogo because that is a very, very small film, and it's been, obviously, we're trying to get some funding for that, so those who want to go on there and get themselves credits or hoodies or T-shirts, whatever else, please feel free to whiz on there and donate away and get yourself some merchandise, because there's some nice things we're giving away, including props from the film, which is obviously going to be quite unique once that film hits all the festivals. So please go away and donate.
Give us that website.
The actual website itself is www.silent-studios.co.uk. And Demon Mist is on Indiegogo, which is the usual Indiegogo website, and it's just projects. So if you go and search for Demon Mist, you'll find it quite easily. It has the 3-minute video on there as a trailer to show people what we're going to do. But obviously it's going to be extended to, like I said, 20 minutes, which we're filming over the next month and a half. So we're trying to get it done by the end of March so we can then edit it and get it started into the festivals for the second part of the year and then into 2015. So it should be quite an interesting year and a half for that one project on its own.
It seems like you wear a lot of hats. You write, you are the DP, you direct. Is there anything that you enjoy more than another part of it, or do you like doing all of it?
I think directing, I would say I enjoy more, and that's what I've probably been doing more of in the last year than anything else. It's one of those things where it's not. They always say, you know, if you'll be careful that you're not, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. So I've tried not to do that because obviously you become, like I say, set in one thing and not another. But directing, I find quite easily on set, and I have some really, really good ADs. You know, my girlfriend is one of the ADs, Kirsty Richardson. She's really, really good. I have Sonia Mason that comes in and does ADing as well. And have two or three ADs on set saves a director from so much grief. And then you can focus on the creative side, which is what I prefer to do and what I'm good at. Photography and DOPing, again, that was 2 years ago. I did that quite a lot. But you kind of evolve. I think you find that you'll evolve through the film process where, you know, I've evolved from photographer to a director of photographer to a director of films. You know, that is a set process, and, you know, some people come up the producing route, so some people become producers, then directors, but they are two different types of directing. But, you know, I think it's a clever route. If people want to get into films, you know, you start as extras on roles and start making your way up, and then you kind of define yourself in an area you really, really enjoy. So for me, it's got to be directing is the top one, but I do dabble in the cameras every now and again as well, to be fair.
Now, I noticed on your IMDb, a lot of your credits are very new. Do you have other credits that are on there? Obviously you do, that are not on IMDb yet?
Yeah, there's stuff that's coming up. I have to be, again, careful what I say, because there is stuff coming up, which we're doing. But like I said, a lot of that is still under wraps under contracts, and I'd be shocked if I told you what they were before they released them themselves. So there is a lot more stuff coming up, and there's stuff in there that I haven't put up from previous years because it's not horror, and what I've tried to do is I want to make sure that Silent Studios and myself and everyone in the team, you know, gets known for horror. You know, if I put all the other stuff in from years ago, it becomes, you know, a mixed bag, really. So I don't really want that, so I've specifically not done that on purpose. You know, we did Sweet 16, I don't know if you saw that film, for Fright Fest last year for the... It's a really, really clever. Again, it's a short video. It was done for the Shortcuts to Hell competition, which is the Fright Fest competition they held every year in Leicester Square in London. We entered, obviously, this very, very short movie, but under time strains. You know, it was obviously funny. You had to have £666, six cars, six crews, six lines of dialogue, you know, that kind of thing. So it was very clever.
Right.
So we did this movie, and we had a young lady. We brought in a new actress, Emma Power. She came in and did one of the roles. Again, David Sellick played the demon in that, and we spent 3 hours doing his makeup alone in the day that we had. So it was really, really tough because we had time restraints on that as well. But we got in the top 26 initially, which, you know, obviously was a great feat out of 170, and I think we ended up somewhere in the top 10. I don't know exactly where because obviously we didn't release the numbers, but... No, we got viewing on the Horror Channel for the whole of the month in October, so our video went live on the biggest UK horror channel there was, which is, again, a stunning feat for the first year. So that's definitely worth a watch if you get 5 minutes. What else can I tell you about?
Where's that at now?
Playground. Sorry?
Where can you see that?
Yep, on the website. If you go onto the Silent Studios website, click on Films, you'll see Torture's Essence trailer, there's the Sweet 16 basically film on there. You can click onto that, and then you'll see something called Zombie Playground, which is again another amazing set of videos we're doing this year and next year, which is based around zombie children, which again is another taboo subject, but we're going to attack it anyway. So that's something I would say if you're into zombies in a big way, and you kind of like the Sophia out of The Walking Dead and those kind of things, then watch out for the first episode of Zombie Playground, because that's going to be coming in the next year as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I take it back. I did watch Sweet 16. Now that I think about it, I did watch that one.
It creeped me out
because I watched it at night, and I was creeped out because the monster coming around, you know, behind her, I was like, okay, I can't watch this.
Yeah, David has that effect on a lot of people, bless him. He's lovely. The thing with that film is it was again a concept we just came up with as a group, and it's quite funny, you know, having a girl that types out demon stories and then come into life, you know, in her dreams and whatever else. But in reality, it's quite an interesting, and because she's drug addicted, you know, she obviously takes drugs. You assume that the drugs are obviously making her think of these things, but actually, it's a reality, not a fantasy. So it's quite a clever turn and twist on things. So we were obviously talked about quite a lot for that, which is nice. You know, it's good things. But Sweet 16, like I said, it was a one-off short film for the festival. So we've done that, and obviously we're moving on to the other projects and trying to get those out on time, because those are torture alone, for example, is going to be filming up until June. It's such a long process. You know, people think it's a 5-minute one, but it really isn't.
Yeah, in that film, when she had the flashes of something coming into her head, I jumped. All of a sudden, it flashes
yeah,
something else that really makes you jump.
Yeah, she's like I say, Sweet 16 was edited. We had it edited. It was very clever. It was done. So it was meant to make you jump because it was only 3 minutes, so I wanted to get a jump factor, because I'm a very good believer that in horror films you need to have the audience engaged. You know, I watch a lot of films where you watch it and think, oh, it's very pretty, it's very CGI, but you're not really scared, you know, so you need that kind of, you know, especially for zombie films, you need that kind of Paranormal Activity feel in a zombie film. So, you know, when we do Contamination, which is Infected, you'll have that kind of a feel in the film. It'll be quite terrorizing, as well as, you know, you'll be seeing all the gore and stuff, and you'll be like, oh, my God, really? And the same with torture. There'll be scenes in that which you won't believe, and you'll be like, I don't believe it's just done that.
I was already thinking that when I watched the torture trailer. I was like, really?
Yeah, but that torture trailer, I have to tell you, it's an essence trailer. It doesn't give anything away, really. It really, like I say, when you start watching the film, you're going to be quite shocked. I think it'll be like Tom Six's Human Centipede. It could be banned at this rate. I'm not sure. We'll wait and see. But I say that one again. It's under investment, and if we get the investment, obviously we'll up the game. We've had we went out to a lot of actors and actresses in the horror genre. You know, we spoke to a lot of people, and some of the bigger actresses, obviously on the horror genre, are interested. But you know, if we get the investment, they'll be on board, and obviously, and then I'll announce who they are. If not, then we'll be doing it as a low budget movie, but with obviously strong actors. But they'd probably be more unknown. But the lead in there currently, who's playing it and going to keep playing it, is a guy called Jez Helinden, who's an amazing actor. And he was, if you're a Harry Potter fan, which I'm not sure if you are or not, he was the guy that carried Harry back in the last one, in part two of the Deathly Hallows, where on the day when they did the filming set, Hagrid obviously wasn't there on that day. He was ill, I believe, or something. So the stand-in, one of the stand-ins, there's quite a few, but the stand-in was Jez, and he had to go in there and become Hagrid for that scene and carry Harry off set as in the movie. So he's the lead in Torture, so a completely different role for him. So he becomes this nasty mastermind guy.
Wow. What's the hardest part about making these films overall?
Sorry?
What's the most challenging part of making movies for you?
I think the challenging one is initially coming up with the stories and ideas. I think is the most challenging in one way, because, you know, there is so much out there in zombies and vampires and monsters. It's coming up with a unique storyline that hasn't been done before, or people don't watch the film and think, actually, that's very like that film, or, oh, my God, that could be that film. But, you know, I think it's coming up with the initial storyline and stuff. We have people that do script writing, have people that go through chopping them down into shorts and into things. So for me personally, it's the initial storyline. I come up with a few of them. Some of the team do some of them as well. But I think that's the most challenging. On set, I have to say, it's a time factor. Without my ADs, I would go on forever and we'd never get anything done. they would totally agree with me. And every director, I think, is exactly the same. He wants to keep going and shoot some more of this and a bit more gore here and want to do that. And the ADs will come and say, look, Jason, stop it. Move on. Stop that scene. Move on. So I have to say, again, it's a time constraint with me. I love it so much. I just want to keep filming and keep going and get as much, obviously, in there as possible. So when we do the edit, later on, it's obviously then used, and the editors, again, I have to say, that's a challenging role for anyone who's an editor, to make a feature film out of all this footage I've done with the guys, and then just give it to them and say, here we are, here's the script, make the movie, and then they chop it all up for you. So that's quite challenging as well, to be fair. Shoots we do, like I say, we're trying to do, for Torture alone, we're doing 8 shoots a month at the moment, because obviously we're trying to get so many people together, and again, you know, the producers are having an absolute nightmare, because it's trying to get people on set, locations fixed and that kind of stuff. So while it's on a low budget, that's a very hard thing to do. When you've got the investment and you can go and book places and pay lots of money for places and book them all in, much easier. Much easier. Mm-hmm. Costs more money, but much easier. So I think that's hard at the moment. We have like 8 shoots a month at the moment for Torture, And they usually about 12-hour shoots in total, you know, including the travel and stuff, depending on where they are in the country. Probably about 12-hour shoots. Some have been less, some have been more. I've had people there on some of those shoots till late in the night and freezing cold. And I think to myself, you know, they really do want to be here, because if they, you wouldn't otherwise, you wouldn't stay in the freezing cold and do this. So I have to say we've had some really, really unique moments already, and yet we've still got so much more to film yet for Torture that it's quite you know, encouraging for me, because I've got, you know, lots of ideas we've got to carry on through, different ways of doing things. And, you know, I think once we get this film out and everyone sees this is our first feature film, because that's what it really is, and see Blaze of Glory go out, which we did, you know, a segment of four, I think they'll start, you know, more people will come towards us and want to help on some of the films moving for the future. So Contamination is a massive film. It's like stature-wise, probably, not budget-wise, but stature-wise, it's like a World War Z film, really. It's got, you know, that many people trying to get into the pitch trailer, but we don't want to CGI them in. We want them as real. Yeah, I have to say, Brad Pitt's film is amazing. Don't get me wrong, I like it, but it's a lot of CGI. And one of the things... Yeah, and it's one of those things where you either like CGI or you don't. And it's, you know, for me, when I watched World War Z, I saw these zombies climb up the wall, and you're thinking, that would be really scary, but I'm sitting in the seat, I'm not scared, because it doesn't look real.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel real. Whereas, like, when we do Contamination, and we're going to literally have, you know, hopefully between 2,000 and 5,000 people on the set for this pitch trailer, and they will all be done up, and we'll be taking helicams coming in into the crowds and going through the crowds, so it's going to be, you know, quite a spectacular thing to see, let alone film.
That's great.
So we're vamping up for that moment. But anybody in the world, and I mean this honestly, anybody in the world that wants to be in that trailer is more than welcome to join the Facebook page for the extras. And makeup artists as well. We've got a makeup artist page as well, and we will happily take them on board into the film, onto the trailer, so they only have to get themselves over from wherever they're coming from, but they are more than welcome to join that group, and we'll give them more details between now and the end of the year. Yeah, it's a Facebook page. It's called Contamination. One's called Contamination Extras, and the other's called Contamination SFX Makeup Artists. So whichever side they sit on. I've got one for production crew going up soon, because we want some more cameramen, because we're going to have probably 50 cameras shooting this scene. So again, it's another jump up in terms of, you know, not one or two cameras, but 50 cameras shooting from different angles, including an aerial one. So I'm going to try and get as much footage done in that afternoon as possible, because half the day's makeup, funny enough, and the other half will be literally filming. But it's going to be such a massive event that I've said that, you know, we want as many extras on the set as possible, as many makeup artists on the set as possible, and then we're going to have 50 cameramen and plus a load of ADs and that, so they're going to have their jobs cut out for them. But, you know, hopefully if we get it all done, we'll have, you know, at least a UK record, and if we're really lucky, a world record. But again, that depends. That depends on a lot of things. Yeah, it's quite a astounding thing to take on for this year, to be honest. I still live in awe.
Before we leave, because we're almost out of time, is there any other website, a personal website or anything that you want to give out, or your Facebook or anything for people to find you?
Just a couple of mentions. I have to mention there's a Zombie Weekend crew, which Dominic will, or Dom will basically, he'll be running ragged. So I said I'll give him a quick mention. So they do a live Zombie Weekender. In the UK, so have a look for that. That's on Facebook. Like I said, for the Silent Studios thing, just go to www.silent-studios.co.uk. There's a contact list on there. You just click on there, put your details in, and it goes straight through to our admin team, and then obviously they will get people wherever they want to go, whether it's to the extras or whatever. Facebook, it's all on Facebook. It's on Twitter. Silent Studios 2 is on Twitter as well. We're everywhere. You just type in Silent Studios to Google, and we're there.
Beware.
Yep, beware. Yeah, we are, I'll say, hopefully, like I said, we are trying to set up a team in the US with some of the zombies from The Walking Dead, bless them. Mick and Michelle are lovely guys. So in the next couple of years, you know, we may have a team out there from Silent Studios, which will be amazing. So we're working on that, and obviously other countries as well. But at the moment, we're just trying to solidify the UK one and get this nailed with some film stuff before we start jumping across the waters and contaminating other people.
Okay. Well, wow, we covered a lot. A lot more than I thought we were going to cover. That's great.
There we are. Is that a good thing?
Wonderful. Well, thank you for coming on the show today. And just keep in touch with me and let me know what you're up to.
Yeah, we'll send you loads of links and stuff as things happen, and thank you very much for having us on the show. Much appreciated. Like I said, just keep following us. We're hopefully going to get stuff out in the near future.
All right. Well, thank you, Jason.
No worries. Have a nice day. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was a great conversation with Jason Wright. Like I said, we covered a lot of information there, so you can go back and take it all in again and keep in touch with him and find out all the different projects that he's doing. When I saw his trailer for Demon Mist, I thought, there's some promise here. There's definitely someone here to watch, and that's why I brought him on the show today, because I think he's going to be big. I think he's, and just from listening to all the stuff he's involved in, obviously he has his finger on the pulse of the horror genre and is going to be doing some big things. So watch out for him. And go to his website, like he mentioned. Type in Google Silent Studios or go to the website he mentioned earlier. Now, if you haven't listened to some of my other shows, I've had a lot of brilliant directors come on in the past. Also, you can go to the archives and listen to all of the shows. I have probably about 90 shows now online for you to listen to. And please check into my Facebook for the show. It's Indie Streak, just like the show. Go to facebook.com/IndieStreak. And please like the page because I do put different things up there all the time. In addition, I have a website that I update daily pretty much with events. It's focused on Florida, but I do have stuff all over the world as well occasionally. And that's independentstreak.ning, N-I-N-G.com. And I have reviews, interviews, postings about this show. I have events, all kinds of stuff up there. So you can always send me your film news, and I'd be happy to try to put it up on the site as well. Okay, so you can keep in touch with me on my email, which is ravenprods@yahoo.com. That's ravenprods at yahoo.com. I'm always looking for filmmakers to interview. I've interviewed people all over the world, so if you're listening to this program and you're out in the UK or wherever you might be and you'd like to be on the show, please email me, ravenprods@yahoo.com, and I would be happy to talk to you, okay, and see if you're right for the show. Also, in addition, I am the coordinator for the Florida SuperCon Super Geek Film Festival this year, which is coming up in July, July 3rd through 7th, and we are looking for films right now. We are accepting films in the sci-fi genre, anime, horror, a lot of other things as well, documentaries, shorts, features. So if you're listening to this and you have a film that you'd like to be considered, please email me. Again, it's Raven Prods, just like Raven Productions, R-A-V, as in Victor, E-N, P-R-O-D-S, at yahoo.com. We have a lot of events coming up here in Florida. The Women's International Film and Arts Festival is coming up on March 5th, and I have information on that on the independentstreak.ning website I mentioned a minute ago. Also, March 7th through 16th is the Miami International Film Festival. So those are just two events that are coming up very shortly, so you want to check those out. Also tonight, we have the Concours d'Elegance going on in Boca Raton, where a lot of celebrities come down and look at the antique cars, and I have not been to that event personally, but I hear it's a big deal, and I have information on that on the site as well. And The Legend of Red Reaper is showing tonight at the Renaissance Festival. So that's another event. There's all kinds of stuff going on constantly here in Florida. And I will be back next week, guys, for another show, another director to interview or someone else in the film industry. So please tune in same time next week, and I will talk to you then. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll talk to you next Sunday. Okay, bye-bye.